You can listen to it later, Nate. It is on social media.
Okay.
I, without revealing the song, because I don't feel like I should be like giving too much about the song because the person vetoed it. I had asked Vinny to do a short Ludacris verse and sent him the rewritten lyrics for it. Would, if I had asked you, would you have done it for me? You know, you cover the NFL professionally, and this is about how people complain too much about the refs. So you probably shouldn't, but you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, look, it's a silly sport where the ball isn't round. Okay. Don't ever forget that. Like, it's a silly sport. All right. We care about where your head is parallel to the center's, you know what? So it's again, the ball isn't even round. It's silly. You know, the silliness about like, well, I don't know. Should we be playing games in the snow? It's like, yeah, because it's silly and it's fun and it's entertaining. And like,
it's different. I don't want to watch the same
thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not asking basketball players to play out. Like, that's why they play basketball. They play inside. Baseball can't, you know, you can't throw a pitch in baseball when it's snow or when it's wet. I mean, for obvious reasons, but no, it's a silly sport. And, I don't know if Vinny has the voice inflections to pull off a ludicrous style.
I gave him the lyrics, and he was strongly considering it.
Is that a yes from you? You would have done it?
Oh, I would probably would have done it, yeah.
There you go. You missed the opportunity.
If you give me enough time, you know, if you give me the right mood.
I would have given – I gave Vinny – it was clear. He was like, he was at dinner. You could tell he was like, and you could tell he was like,
vacation.
You could tell he was like soft launching it to the group. This is my sense of how long it took to answer. He said, ha, 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 ha. What a question. That's not a no. Then I followed up with some stuff. We get in there. He asked, when are you trying to do this? Again, not a no at that point. Then what I think happened, Nate, is you soft launch to the group. You ask the wife. You ask a teammate. You ask around a little bit until enough people are like, do not do this.
I told Vinny it was a smart career decision not to do it. He was worried about the locker room, it sounded like. But anyway, you'll hear our conversation with Vinny. As you guys can hear, we've got Nate Taylor joining us in studio, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's nauseating at this point in time, but where do you stand on the official stuff right now?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know. Now I sound like Mike Tomlin. We do not care. Were the Texans going to win this game?
Nah.
No.
Refs could have done them 10 favors. They probably weren't winning.
I mean, enough people have said it that I've seen, so I don't feel like I have to repeat them. But no, the referees are human beings. I think that's something that we should also try to acknowledge. Even though I know nobody wants to hear that, they don't get replay, kids. Like, in the press box, I'll take one example. In the press box, that looks like roughing the passer. Helmet snapped back, fell down, kind of hit him high. Like,
you see the behind angle, and you're like, no wonder he called it.
Yeah, letter of the law. I'm just saying from above. Like, I have an even better viewpoint than the actual official, the actual referee who makes the call. And I'm like, yeah, that looks like. It looks like roughing the passer. Then you see the replay and you're like,
fringe.
It's a lot of gray. It's a lot of gray area. Not black, not white. Plenty of gray. Okay, cool. You know, I used to write about, and this tells me how long I've been doing this, but I used to write about one of the things that always blew my mind about Patrick when this is like 2018, 2019, is he cracked the code based on the rules that he would look, he would actually turn his head away from the defense and look at the referee and say, any holding? All right, I'm going to get out and scramble. Like, there's multiple videos of him looking back while the play's going on and being like, you're going to throw a flag? Any holding occurring right now? Okay, then I'm going to get out and run, and I'm going to use the
smart
open field. I'm going to use the line of scrimmage for, like, you know, my whole body has to be past line of scrimmage, not just like half my body. So I'm going to use that to my advantage. I'm going to use the first down marker in the sideline to my advantage. And now that I'm in year seven, year eight, if I use the sideline as like, quote unquote, the 12th defender, but actually it's supposed to force them to pull up, I can use that to my advantage too. And the rule book says I don't have to slide. I can slide whenever I want.
Yeah, it doesn't say you can only run 7 yards and then you have to slide
right.
as a quarterback. Yeah,
have to run in a direct line and then slide. Like, so, I can change directions. I can go backwards, forwards. I can juke. I mean, no one talks about this, but, like, I can juke. I can go backwards to where two defenders collide into one another. Like, that's what happened earlier this year with the Saints. It was not as cool as when Mike Vick did it in a game-winning situation in overtime against the Minnesota Vikings. But I know the rules. So, and these are human beings. So I'm weaponizing what's legal in the rule book against human beings who are trying to be as objective as they can, but you can't do that at that level with that amount of speed, quickness, physicality involved. They're going to make mistakes. Like, it's fine, but you will have a myriad of plays to change the difference of the game. You want to know what my biggest anger was when it came to the referees? It was not about Chiefs Texans. Get that out of here.
Okay.
The worst call this past weekend, was in Buffalo.
The OPI one?
Yes, where he literally shoves Tre'Davious White to the ground because Keon Coleman realizes, oh, ball's in the air and I have not created any separation.
And not just doesn't call OPI, calls it on the other man.
Yes.
It gets him.
And it's right before halftime. So that's a difference between potentially 3 points and or seven. The Bills, to their credit, take advantage of the penalty, get a touchdown. Now they're up 21-10. The entire game script is different in the second half based on that penalty. That penalty had more of an impact than any of the penalties that were or weren't called in Kansas City. So, again, these are human beings. They're trying to do their best. I just wish people would acknowledge that the most. Like, the Texans had plenty of opportunities, okay? Mario Edwards Jr. did an amazing job to even notice that Patrick scrambling, right? Grabs him by the foot, which you're kind of not supposed to do based on the rule book, but he is a scrambling quarterback at that point, so technically he's a runner. Grabs him by his foot, by the ankle, not trying to do anything crazy, but like, come on, man, stop running away from me. He threw a touchdown? Like, that's why the Texans lost, kids. It's not because of the referees.
When you look at what they did in this game, the pass rush obviously stands up. A lot of those were late in the game, and the Texans' offensive line is bad. Mm. But it's still got to be a good sign that Karlaftis is shaping up to be a big-time playoff performer, similar to that as Frank Clark. Chris Jones remains a monster, and I don't know what level of health Charles Omenihu is. I know in postgame he joked he's not 100%, but the tape looks that way. He also has created, since his appearance... Like, I mean, obviously the trio of those three will make pressure on even, I think, Buffalo's offensive line, which is very good.
Yep.
Probably the best left in the playoffs, arguably, I think.
Yes. But. Yeah. I would have given maybe a push on Detroit, but they're not in the dance anymore.
Yeah.
With this pass rush, now that you have the flexibility and the fact that, you know, he's come from the injury looking really, really good, that being Charles Omenihu, you just now have someone who can win one-on-one consistently. You know, I thought the tackles were probably the strength of the Houston Texans. And then George Karlaftis just beats them constantly. One of the biggest third downs in the game is Chris Jones going from inside to outside to beat a rookie tackle.
I know. He, like, chose his spot, too.
I mean,
beat him fast.
And he beat him really fast. And it was a third down in the middle of the field. So, like, you're preventing the Texans from even having a chance to put points on the board. And then Charles Omenihu had one of the quickest strip sack fumbles I've ever seen. I was just like, did they block him? But you look, and it's like, man, that's really good technique. That's understanding their scheme from his film study, and knowing that CJ probably wants to get the ball out of his hands quicker. The fun about all of this is, hey, he only had one guy to throw the ball to. Uno. Okay, maybe you could throw the ball to Dalton Schultz, but for some reason they had him blocking
Karlaftis.
So stupid.
A bunch of times. Like, just so many times.
At that point, don't even line up because you've already given Spags the advantage. It's like, oh, so you're keeping your tight end in, which is one less person in the route.
And a player that we're bad at guarding.
Right.
We're bad at guarding.
And you want him to block one of our best pass rushers? Okay. Like, and we're still blitzing, by the way. Not like we're going to change anything. So from a schematic situation, the Houston Texans were really overwhelmed in the second half. CJ still holds onto the ball too long, but I get it. You only have one guy, Nico Collins. You only have one guy that can be reliable for you in a gotta-have a situation. At least Josh has a couple, and I think some of the best ones are actually at the running back position.
Yeah, James Cook is something
he's
else.
He's had a great year.
Yeah, and, you know, I know Amari Cooper hasn't played a ton, but he's still capable. Keon Coleman will be a new matchup. He didn't play in the first matchup. He's obviously tall and athletic. Yes, you still have Shakur, who's going to be your wiggle guy in the middle of the field from the slot standpoint. They actually used him a lot in the first matchup on behind the line of scrimmage passes. Just get him the ball as quickly as you can in space. See if he can make somebody miss, i.e. Tre'Mari Connor and Najee Johnson. Josh Allen will hold onto the ball too, but he can do more with it than C.J. Stroud. So that'll be the thing that I'm interested in. Can Chris Jones create such pressure early that he pushes Josh into the lap of George Karloftis or into the lap of Charles Omenihu, because they got no sacks on Josh Allen in the first matchup, and that's one of the reasons why they gave up 30 points.
It was week 11. It was a while ago. There's a lot of different personnel you highlighted on the Bills side. We know the Chiefs didn't have Jalen Watson or Omenihu in that game as well.
Yep.
Or Hollywood, right?
Hollywood on the offensive side. But when it comes to looking at Josh Allen, how much do you think Leo Chenault becomes a key in this game? Based off of the idea, everybody talked about the 4th-and-2 call.
Your job's to take care of Josh.
Everybody talked about 4th-and-2 that only iced the game for the Bills. And were they in a spy? Were they not in a spy? Was it just a great job by the Bills? Like, how much is that going to be the deciding factor in this game?
They have to. I didn't write it in my story today on The Athletic. I actually should have mentioned it, but it seems so obvious. Like, if I could comfort Chiefs fans, it would be this with the defense. They will be highly motivated based on, that's the only time they've given up 30 points, I believe, all year, right?
That is correct, yeah.
It's the only time they've given up 30 points all year.
Yeah, we don't count the Denver game.
No, God, no.
That game doesn't matter.
Remove that from the record books.
15-1, okay? Yeah. 15-1.
It's a 16-game season this year.
Yeah, remove that from the record books. So it's the only time they gave up 30 to a legitimate opponent when they were trying to win the game. They had no spy. They didn't have one of their, you could say, their second best cover corner in Jalen Watson. Mm-hmm. Didn't have Charles Omenihu, arguably your second or third best pass rusher. And Spags, all he did was show cover zero. That's it. There were no zone blitzes. There were no simulated pressures. There was no spy to monitor what Josh Allen was doing. The way the Bills countered that was the deep ball to Amari Cooper, because Najee Johnson was on him. And that cannot happen on Sunday.
No, and they won't use Najee as much, I don't think, in that situation. They're still getting Jalen Watson back.
Right. So Jalen Watson, again, if he gets through this week of practice, well, he should play more snaps. I think he played, 40? 50
or 40, yeah, something like
that. 40, yeah, 40 of the defensive snaps. Which
they're all in the second half. They, saved him for the more important part.
Yes. And hey, if something were to happen, Najee Johnson got more experience. It was fascinating to me that they chose Najee Johnson over Joshua Williams, who was just special teams only. I thought those would have been reversed in terms of roles. They only did cover zero blitzes. The touchdown to, I think it's Curtis Samuel, on cover zero. Much of Josh Allen's yards is on cover zero blitzes. So you could try that again, because now you have maybe better coverage with Jaden Hicks growing, with Jalen Watson being available. But I imagine that there's going to be different flavors of blitzes while also having better personnel, including a spy. And Leo, if you touch him, hit him hard. The quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard. You the only guy we got, pound for pound, that can withstand this man in a one-on-one situation. And in particularly, too, we saw this with the Ravens. The Ravens knew. You get inside the 5-yard line, he ain't giving the ball up to nobody else. So, Leo, if you're in a gotta-have-it situation on 3rd and goal from the 4-yard line, it's you and him, man. Meet him at the hole and see if you can withstand it, because they don't really have another defender who I think is mobile enough but also strong enough to maybe prevent Josh Allen from running as freely as he could when the Chiefs were not spying, the 4th-and-2 play where they did zone and the zone worked and then he ran right by them.
I guess this will be a conversation we probably have later in the week. Josh Allen has played the Chiefs in an AFC championship game, but it's been 3-4 years
now. 4 years, yeah.
Since they did it. At some point, does that pressure get back to him? It's been a while since he returned to this game. It's been a while since he had, it's been a couple of years since he played at Arrowhead. That came in the 13-second game, certainly. Like, at some point, is it, like, too far removed to be like, well, he's played in this AFC Championship game. He's only made it at this round once. It was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, Mahomes just plays in this game every year. I don't think it means anything, you know, no sweat off his back. But at some point, I wonder about Josh Allen. You always fear the same thing. It's like you turn back into what you do when you're at your worst, which in his case is making a bad red zone decision.
Right. Or, you know, and give credit to Josh. Like, he didn't play out of his mind on Sunday, but he managed the game very well. He was decisive when he did make decisions. He used his legs to the team's benefit, and he didn't turn over the ball. No. That's everything we asked of Lamar Jackson, literally. And he couldn't, you know, he couldn't go drive for drive, basically. He couldn't hold serve. Because Patrick has been in this situation so much, obviously you can include Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. I think one of the biggest things for the pass rush, I just shouldn't have mentioned this earlier, Alex, is the crowd noise. Like, this will not be played in Buffalo.
Fair, yeah.
You know, can the offensive line and Josh Allen communicate when it's this, you know, when it's, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be incessantly loud, yeah. And there's going to be, okay, that linebacker's walking up, that safety's walking up, who's coming, who's staying back? Like, you're trying to identify, like, where the pressure might be coming from. It's a lot harder to do that on the road when you got to go silent count versus being at home in more comfortable conditions in the offense, knowing that the crowd is going to support them. It's tough to know that this is, it's not tough. It's actually exciting. Let me rephrase that. It's really exciting to know that this is the last stage. It's the last level. Like, New Orleans is a whole different season because you get 2 weeks. It's in ideal conditions. You're not home or away. It's a neutral site.
It's got all extra nonsense with it. They know.
Yes. Yeah. It's a totally different, like, it's almost a separate season in and of itself. But it's the last game, and everybody knows that. So that's why it's important. Obviously, you play for a championship. But in the thick of this, in the thick of rivalries and knowing who you're playing and what did they do this week versus us, and Josh even admitting, I think in December after a win against the Patriots, hey, man, we don't want to give everything away because we got to save stuff for later. Later's now.
Yeah.
We need you to show out. We need you to put on a cape. We need you to play at your absolute best but not turn the ball over. We need you to use your legs but not to the detriment of the team or, like, put yourself in danger from a physical standpoint in terms of injury. And this is the last hurdle for him to be that guy that leads the Bills to the Super Bowl for the first time since, what, 1993?
Yep.
I mean, there'll be plenty of pressure, but he's at least ready for the test now to where the Chiefs, in essence, their season begins on Sunday. It's such a great contrast that is what has made this rivalry so compelling.
One final thing is we got Nate Taylor joining us here in studio from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider on 96.5 The Fan. On the offensive side, one wide receiver had a catch. It was Xavier Worthy. I know Travis Kelce went off for 117. D-hop snaps did not increase the way I think a lot of people thought they would. What do you make of the wide receiver breakdown? Is that a... hey, he's not healthy. Is that a still, hey, they're kind of saving him for the Bills, and then Bills are about to see something they haven't seen all year kind of thing, or what?
It better be the latter. I haven't gotten a sense from DeAndre that he's battling through anything. It's not for comparison. Like, I know Jawan Taylor's still not 100%.
Okay.
Still play fairly well, despite his injury and the fact that they don't want to have anybody play right tackle.
Yeah sure.
Heck, so Wanya was inactive, so.
Correct. So it's not like that. You know, man, it was such a good route, such a good concept. They knew it was going to be man coverage. And I think partly due to the wind and partly due to my man being hyped up, the ball just went over his head, you know? So instead of a touchdown, you got to kick a field goal. That was Patrick's first real downfield pass after the impressive Nico Remigio return and the Samaje Perine fumble recovery. It would have been great had Hollywood caught that pass that was on target, that was accurate. Defender made a good play, you know, and then thankfully Travis Kelce bails you out literally on the next play. I want everybody to understand that the Houston Texans secondary, in my opinion, is drastically better than the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they avoided Derek Stingley and others.
Yes, and still were able to throw the ball to open spots in the middle of the zone, i.e. Travis Kelce, and still found a couple places where they could get the ball to Hollywood down the field, and they still used Xavier Worthy in like the short game, lateral movement, misdirection type of stuff. There was a couple screens where they threw it to Xavier, and I was just like, they have yet to put that on film. That's interesting to use his speed in a way that the Bills have used, you know, Shakir's speed. Guys, Lamar Jackson, when this season was literally on the line with two capable pass catchers being Isaiah Blakely and Mark Andrews and no receiver you would trust. They had Rashad Bateman. They didn't have Zay Flowers. Went right down the field when the Bills knew you was passing. Somebody should take advantage of DeMar Hamlin's range. Someone should take advantage of some of the eye discipline issues that occur with Tyler Rapp. Tyler Rapp is not a good safety. The system allows him to be a functional safety. We all remember, too, that I think it was Xavier Worthy had about 25 yards of space on that deep corner route. They should incorporate DeAndre Hopkins to move the chains. Hey, run some slants, some digs, some sit-down routes. Maybe soften them up, but you got to beat them over the top. I don't care if it's going to be 20-something degrees on Sunday. Patrick always says, like, that shouldn't bother me, you know, especially when you get into, like, second, third quarter. Once you get comfortable with the wind conditions, which is why that first throw to Hollywood was so interesting, because it was like, wow, we don't really see that. But it's like, it is windy, and you haven't played football in 23 days, and I think you were juiced. I think he was, like, so, like, pumped that he was like, yo, you got to calm down. You got to get back into, like, normal game speed. Those holes are there, man. There's a reason why Denver went right down the field and was like, yeah, let's throw it over their heads. Wow, he's open. It's like, you do know they have guys who can run really fast down the field. The Chiefs have faster guys. So if they don't beat them over the top, that'll be one of the big that'll just be one of the big mistakes, one of the big, like, missed opportunities they have, because I'd be shocked if the Buffalo Bills, unless Josh Allen's just amazing, that they will get to the Super Bowl with a good front seven, but with a secondary that I find to be like, somebody's going to take advantage of that sooner rather than later, and the Chiefs have the opportunity to do that, because that's not Kel Hamilton back there. That's Tyler Rapp and DeMar Hamlin. You should go over the top 3-4 times if you can.
Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider.